Praise God.
Okay. So my question is when somebody is a born-again Christian, is a born-again, and he's having some challenges, some problems, and the person is praying, and he's doing everything possible to solve the problem. Yes, the problem is not... The problem is not being solved. Does it mean that the person he don't have the grace, or the person don't have the don't have the person's sin is too much that he cannot have solution? So why is it so that somebody that is born again is having problem and is praying, he don't do anything that he don't do anything that will offend God. Yet his problem is not being solved. Why?
Praise God. There is no single answer for you. You have to comb it from both sides. The truth is, there is no problem without solution, because there is nothing impossible before God. There are different reasons why you pray, you try to live your best Christian life, you try. Listen, if you have done all you are supposed to do as a Christian, there is nothing to the best of your knowledge you know that Satan can use it to accuse you and frustrate your life and delay your blessing. You have done everything you can do as a believer in fasting, in praying, in whatever. You have challenged God in various ways, and the condition refuses to change. That is evidence that God's hand is in that matter. So the question is, why will God stand like that and allow me suffer like that? The answer is in Romans chapter 8. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Your life as a believer is determined by God's purpose in your life. To fulfill a particular purpose, he will let you follow a particular route. From Egypt to the promised land was a 40-day journey. But to fulfill a purpose, it took 40 years. Praise God. He has a purpose for delaying that expectation. But at the end, you will know this was the hand of God. If not, continue to pray. And William Branham was telling us, answering a question, how long should I pray concerning a matter? For how long? Because teachers of faith tell you when you pray, that's all. Don't pray that prayer again. It is faithlessness. William Branham put it this way: you are to continue to pray over that matter until the answer comes. Say, continue to pray until the answer comes. And I think I agree with that, because it is scriptural. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay. God bless you.
Shalom, church.
Juliet from Spain. God bless you.
My question goes like this.
Yes.
I listened to one of your preachings. You talk about the first resurrection. So, you said after the first resurrection, that the spirit will go and meet Jesus on the earth. That's Jesus will come back again in the second resurrection. He will come back in 1,000 years. He will come back in 1,000 years. So, what I understand before, they said that after the first resurrection, that the mercy of God will leave the earth. that there will be no mercy of God, and the tormentor will begin to torment people for several years. And again, that whoever that is able to be patient for that 7 years will win the second resurrection. Is that true? I want to be clear.
Okay, Sister Juliet from Spain. I don't know, maybe you go back and listen to that teaching again. There are two resurrections. And the first resurrection is in three parts. The first resurrection is in three parts. The first part is Matthew 27, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Graves were opened, and the saints came out, and they saw them in the city for about 40 days before Christ took them to paradise. The second resurrection is our resurrection that we are waiting for now. The second part of the first resurrection is what we are waiting for now, when Christ will come in the air, and then we will go change in a moment, the twinkle of an eye will change, and then the grace will open, of course. Everybody will go and meet him. The third part is where we have the foolish virgins. These three groups are listed in verse 4 of Revelation chapter 20. And then we go up to be with him, and according to the divine agenda, it will be 7 years we shall remain there, because that is the period that the gospel will be turning to the Israelites for that, the completion of the last 70th week that completes the 70 weeks that was given to Daniel in Daniel chapter 9. 69 weeks have gone. Between 69 week and the 70th week is the Gentile church age, which closes with the rapture. Then he finishes the last week, which is 7 years, and then we come back and rule with him. Anybody that does not go in this first resurrection, when he will come to collect us home, anybody that does not go, you will remain in your grave till 1,000 years is over. Then we come to chapter 20 of Revelation, the white throne judgment. Any other person that is under the grave comes, that is the second death. Can we read it? Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, 5, and 6. Revelation chapter 20. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death had no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Praise God. And if you go to verse 11, from verse 11, chapter 20, verse 11, that is the second resurrection described here. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. God bless you. So go and listen to that message again. Okay.
Shalom, church.
Shalom.
My question comes from Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 4 to 6.
What's your question there?
My question is, what is the outcome of those people?
Outcome of which people?
Those people that the Bible version is talking about.
It makes it clear now. It says it's impossible to bring them back.
To repentance.
To repentance again. Seeing what?
Seeing
because
that
they crucified to themselves the Son of Man afresh.
They are fresh.
Eh? But it explains a mystery.
Okay.
These are people. Let's read it. Which verse is that? Verse 4?
Verse 4.
Chapter 6, verse 4. Hebrew. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and we are made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Partaker of the Holy Ghost here is not receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They have seen the move of God physically. The anointing struck them. They receive the power of God. They receive an anointing. They were falling under anointing. They were prophesying. Verse 5. And have tested the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. They have seen the evidence. He said, if they shall fall away, if they fall away after all this, to renew them again unto repentance, he said, it is impossible. Seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now the question is, how can somebody receive the Holy Ghost, partake of the Holy Ghost, of the good world to come, and still fall away?
Yeah, that's my question.
The mystery is explained in verse 7 and verse 8. Let's read it. Verse 7 and verse 8. This is the mystery. This is the mystery. Verse 7 and verse 8. For the earth, which drinketh in the rain that cometh up upon it and bringeth forth helpmeet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. This earth here, the ground, whatever is inside, you don't know what is under the ground until rain falls. When that rain falls, and the Bible tells us rain falls on the just and the unjust, the same rain that comes on genuine seed is the same rain that falls on serpent seeds, on tares. So when that rain falls, everything that is around there will manifest and bring forth their origin. So that is the mystery.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
My second question is this.
That's why when some people receive the Holy Ghost, then you begin to see them manifesting. I mean, how can somebody say, you have seen the reality of heaven? The reality, there are angels. You've seen that you've heard the voice of God. And then you still live this stupid life they live. When they're in the church, they prophesy. After service, they are sleeping with a woman in the hotel. And they will come again and prophesy. Their origin matters. They are tears. Tears. The genuine child of God, if a man be in Christ, a new creature. And that's why Christ said, by their fruits, you know that after the rain comes, the seed will grow and they will begin to bear fruit. Then you know which is which. Okay.
Shalom, church.
God bless you.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the Netherlands, Chinedu.
Yeah, please. Pastor. Please, my question is, how can I get delivered from a spiritual wife? How can I get delivered from spiritual wife?
Go for prayers. Be married to Jesus. and go for a deliverance minister to pray with you and cast that spirit out to leave you alone. By prayer, you will be delivered from spiritual wife. Yes, the last person.
Sir, in one of your sermon here, you preach that there is no more apostle except those 12 apostles.
Yes.
But in the Bible, now we find that we have 13 apostles there.
No.
Matthias, Paul, and
No, you didn't understand me. I said now, in this state of the ministry of, the divine agenda, in the state that the ministry is now, there is no office now as the office of an apostle. Yes, there were apostles. Listen, church. We are what God is doing. Amen. Because this is very important. Why it is important is so that people will not come and mislead us. Thank God the bride can never be deceived. The bride can never ever be deceived. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Amen. Praise God. I listened to one smart preacher earlier in the day. And I believe that he's trying to reply this teaching. And teaching to prove that, it's gathering people to follow him. John. He's gathering people to follow him. And when a man is pointing the people to him, I am telling you, it's a son of perdition. You know what the meaning of a son of perdition? Son of perdition is one that leads to destruction. It's leading people for destruction. Listen, the Bible tells us that the church of Jesus Christ is a spiritual temple. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that. With a building for the habitation of God. That building is a spiritual building. And if it is a building, then we are going back to the temple that was built by Solomon. So that you'll understand. The temple of Solomon was built first and foremost. It was not David that built it. It was his son that built it. Oh, praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But the father, David, put down all the materials. Even worship setting, set the worship in the temple in order. Those who will be musicians, those who will walk. Even how they will, the priests, they will minister. Two, like that. Throughout the 12 months. Set it in order. Before his son came, the Bible says that it took 7 years for that temple to be built. After the 7 years, the glory of God came there to take over and habit his temple. The Bible says that the materials by skilled people, they were provided. Even the builders were provided. So that throughout the 7 years, there was no noise of chisel or hammer. The materials were already provided. What is it? Where are we now? We are here. Where is the stone that fits this place? They bring the stone. The stone was already there. Hallelujah. And it fit in there. Bam. Nothing like it took my book with cotton here. No. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And he said some, he gave some apostles, some prophets. He already set them. For what? For the work of the ministry. Now, if he, David, set the builders. Now, in building, we know the most important aspect of a building is what? It's the foundation. It means there is the foundation laying ministry. The foundation laying ministry is the apostolic ministry. Hallelujah. And Apostle Paul said, we have laid the foundation and another builded thereon. He said, take heed how you build on it. Ephesians 2 verse 20. He said, you are built upon the foundation of the apostles. We are built upon the foundation of the apostles. If any man preaches any other doctrine contrary to what we have preached, let him be accursed. Hallelujah. The apostolic ministry is not dead. It's still alive. It's still alive. If God calls you today into the ministry, what book do you carry? Is it not the Bible? It's the apostolic foundation you are looking at. You're only going to build upon it. And he said, no other foundation can any man lay than that which is already laid. Any man say he's an apostle, then we say, which foundation are you laying again? Praise God. So, now, all that thing you see in the book of Acts, Barnabas, Paul, those 12 disciples, everything they were doing, they were laying foundation. That people who came later were building upon it. That's why their works are put there in the Bible. So there are more than 12. There are more than 13. There are more than 14. The early ministry, all, they were all apostolic, laying foundation that years after, you and I that God called, we shall build upon. Praise God. And that's why they left the foundation, the denomination, and they hewed to themselves cisterns. That's what the prophet called it. That cannot hold water. And God sent the prophet to this age. Come back to the foundation. Come back to the Bible. Come back to the apostolic faith to turn the heart of the apostolic children back to the faith of the apostolic fathers. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. William Branham did not come to give us a fivefold ministry. He came to return us there, return us back to the Bible pattern. So there's nothing. Anybody that come and say there's an apostolic office now is unscriptural. He's trying to lead people astray. Nothing like that. Nothing like that. God bless you. Church, clap your hands for Jesus. Sister Chika from Togo. Shalom, church. Question one. When Muslim or other religion pray, they receive answers to their prayers. Who answers their prayers? Their God answers their prayer. The God they pray to will answer their prayers. Their faith, Jesus, Muhammad, or Satan, I have answered you. The God they are praying to is the one that answers them. Question two. Must someone fast and pray before receiving the Holy Ghost? How about Apostle Paul? Did he ask for Holy Ghost before receiving it? God bless you, Brother Moses. Thank God so much. At my first visit in your church during the June camp, I was healed of breast lumps. He cares, brethren. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It is already a promise of the Father. chapter 2, verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission. Can we read it? Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39. Acts chapter 2. If we go to Acts, let's start from verse 36. Therefore, this is Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. This was his last comment. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this sermon that Peter preached, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39. For the promise is unto you, the Jews, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So, but then, when you see others receiving something you desire, you can also ask. And we have an assurance in Luke chapter 11, verse 13. Let's read it. It says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? They ask him. In Acts chapter 8, in Samaria, after Philip preached, they all believed and he baptized him in the name of the Lord Jesus. When it was time for the Holy Ghost, he said, wait. He sent for the apostles from Jerusalem. And they came, they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. So you can ask for it, and you may just be sitting down even now, and you can receive the Holy Ghost. He determines how he gives. Clap your hands for Jesus. Clap your hands for Jesus. From Finland, Brother Clement from Finland. Shalom, church. God bless you, Pastor Moses. Please, I need your explanation on the statement from Brother Abraham made during one of his sermons. He mentioned that Jesus of the New Testament is the same Jehovah in the Old Testament, or the vice versa. But Brother Allen of Faith Tabernacle says Brother Abraham made an error by making that statement. According to him, Brother Allen, Jehovah God and Jesus are two different entities or spirits, as he preached under a topic, God and His Son. Please, Pastor Moses, elaborate this issue. Shalom. Brother Allen, amen, is getting it wrong, not William Braham. Listen, church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Why do you think the Jews crucified Jesus? Why? Praise God. Why do you think he crucified Jesus? They crucified Jesus because Jesus says he's the Son of God. That means you are saying you are God. Hallelujah. Brother Allen, listen. Let us read Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. He said, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Somebody shout sign. Say it again. He said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name who? What's the meaning of Emmanuel? God with us. Who was Jesus? God with us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Apostle Paul told the Corinthians that if the princes of this world had known who he was, oh, glory be to God, he said they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, open Revelation chapter 1 again. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7, Revelation chapter 1. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierce him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. See Jesus introducing himself. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the ending, said the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come. Who? The Almighty. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Hallelujah. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Counselor. Who again? Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 22, verse 41. Let me read it from verse 41. Are we there? While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They said unto him, the son of David. He said unto them, how then doth David in the spirit call him Lord? Saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? Hey. Praise the Lord. Brother Allen, you got it wrong. Brother Abraham, hallelujah. Brother Abraham was not wrong. Brother Abraham was trying to tell the denominationals that that same Jehovah God that was known in the Old Testament is the same God that came in Christ Jesus. That is to knock away the doctrine of Trinity. You must catch it like that. That's why they crucified him. He's telling them, David prophesied of me, and he called me his Lord. Then why do you say I'm his son when I am his Lord? Hey. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You mistake the statements of William Branham. Praise God. You mistake it. There's a scripture, at least, the day I came across this scripture so many years ago, I sat down and started meditating. First, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. From verse 14, 15. Let's read it from verse 14. He's talking about Christ, and he said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now verse 15. He's talking about Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. He said, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, Jesus, we are all things created, that are in heaven and that in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Who is Jesus? It's God Almighty. He stepped down from time, from eternity to time. God in the flesh. Amen. Listen, go to Hebrew again, chapter 2. From verse 14. For as much then as the children, who are the children? We are the children. Who is our Father? God the Creator. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. He is a spirit now. He's not flesh and blood. So he also himself likewise took part of the same flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that has the power of death, that is the devil. Verse 15. And deliver them who through fear, I'm reading up to verse 18, of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily God the Creator took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. See the root he came. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Finally, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. That is the mystery. That is why he came. Step from eternity to time. Put on flesh. Hallelujah. And that is God appearing. He appeared to Abraham as Melchizedek. He appeared as a human being. Can we read it? Hebrews chapter 7 from verse 1. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 1. He said, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the most high God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Is that not all the titles of Jesus? See him now, that Melchizedek, that Abraham, that man that he met, without father. He has no father. Without mother. Not be saying, Papa die, Mama die. Oh. Without descent. You cannot say he came from Newi. Without descent. Having neither beginning of death. He has no birth date. Hey! He has no birth date. Ancient of days.
As old as you are. As old as you are.
Oh!
You will never change. Ancient of days.
Make a reader for you. I never finished. Chapter 5. Good, let's start from chapter 5. Amen. Verse 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he said also in another place, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Go to chapter 6. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. Okay. Verse 20 now. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even who? Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of who? After the order of who? Melchizedek. Who is this Melchizedek that is in the order of? Amen. So let's go now. Verse 3 of chapter 7. This Melchizedek was without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days, he has no birthday, nor end of life. He know they die. He has no beginning. In fact, beginning begins from him. He's the creator of beginning. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, but made like unto the Son of God, abided the priest continually. So who did Melchizedek meet? He met the creator of the heavens and the earth that took upon him like a human being for a purpose. And this time again for another purpose. He built a cell, a body for himself in the womb of a virgin and came and tabernacled in that womb. Oh, glory be to God. And for that purpose was born like a child. Hallelujah. For that purpose offered himself to be rubbish and nailed to the cross on Calvary. He came as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, let's clap our hands for Jesus. The Jehovah God of the Old Testament is the same Jesus in the New Testament. It's not another one. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, false prophets are lying. God's truth they are denying. That Jesus the Christ is our God. Oh, though this generation's false God generation. Oh,
we trust where the apostles have thrown.
Hallelujah!
The day of redemption is here. Men's hearts are failing for fear.
Be filled with a feeling joy.
So I dream, so I look up.
Look up, your redemption is here.
Oh, hallelujah!
The day of redemption
is here.
Men's hearts.
Oh, look up, your redemption. One more time. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Day of redemption is here.
Amen.
Let's have the valley of
him. We feel the spirit
and
feel
your life.
God bless you.